With a series we've been talking about, the power of God. Okay, and it's, I had intended for this to be kind of the grand finale, and I think I even have some of that language in my sermon this morning, but there's going to be an encore because God showed one more that I just know that is so critical to the body of Christ. And then I think we're going to shift gears a little bit. I think there's kind of, if you haven't put it together, here's what God was kind of showing me for the direction on kind of where we're at is, you know, we have to focus on the power of God, okay, and what He can do, and He can part seas, and He can move mountains, and He can heal people, and He can deliver people, and He can do all these things. And then it's kind of intermixed in that has been the power that He uses to work through us to accomplish some of that stuff here on earth and some of the other things. But I think we need to be reminded of the motive of God behind all of this stuff. And that gets into the love of God, the grace of God, the anointing, and stuff that goes along with that. And so we're going to lean into that direction the next few weeks. But first, let's get through this. We're going to talk about the Holy Spirit this morning, and let's start with some prayer. So Father, we're yielded to You. We are vessels, Father, of You. Father, You pour Yourself into us. You said You would put Your Spirit inside of us, that You would replace the stony places with a tender heart towards You, Father, and that today we just yield to that. We say, Father, have Your way. Speak to our hearts. Open us up to receive what You have for us this morning, Lord. We are hungry. We're thirsty for You, Lord, and we want all that we can get. We're pressing into You, leaning on You like a chair we're sitting on, Lord. We're thanking You that You are so trustworthy that we can do this, Lord, and we press in with all of our might, Lord. Help us understand You. Help us understand Your Holy Spirit and Your power, Your working in our life, I pray, as we leave today, Lord. Let us have a better understanding than when we came in. Let us be more yielded than when we came in. Let us be walking in more of Your anointing through the Holy Spirit when we leave today than we did when we came in. Father, we're praying You, we're thanking You for it, and we're praising You. In Jesus' name we say, amen. So finally, after several weeks, we've been in this series now about talking about God's miraculous power. We've been talking about His power to heal, okay? His power to deliver you, okay? His power flowing through you and empowering you to speak to your circumstances or speak to into the spiritual realm and seeing things actually change. And so from all that, we get through this, and like I said, I intended for today it kind of be this grand finale that we would end with the power of the Holy Spirit. And it is, like I said, we're going to have one more after this on the power, because we have to talk about the power of the blood. Okay, there's power in the blood of Jesus. Okay, so we're going to talk about that next week. I couldn't do a series on the power of God and leave that out. So the Lord's like, you better get that in there. So we're going to do that next week. Okay, but from this point, for some of you, this message today is going to be one of the most important messages that you have ever heard in your life. Okay, and I can say that just knowing the impact that a message like this and a teaching like this had on me and my life and what I've seen it do in other people's lives. It is one of those messages that it has the potential not just to take your walk with God to a new level. Okay, it has that potential. Okay, but this is something that if it's grasped, it can literally turn your walk of faith on like a light switch. Okay, where some of you have the juice and it's there, but you haven't flipped that switch on yet to let the power of the Holy Spirit flow freely in and through your life. Okay, and that's what we're going to talk about this morning. Okay, simply put, the Holy Spirit is the power source. Okay, when we're talking about the power of God, we're talking about the Holy Spirit being that source of that power. And we're going to read a lot of scriptures today, a ton of scriptures. And they're going to tell us that you are endued with that power, okay, when you're baptized in the Holy Spirit. Okay, baptized simply means fully immersed. Okay, I'll explain this in detail. You'll probably get it. I have for a long time, I've been wanting to share on the three most important events in my Christian life. Okay, and this is one of them. Okay, the first one, of course, is getting born again and water baptized. Okay, I put those two together. Water baptism, for me, was like 6 months after I got saved, and it was an event in itself. But I tie it in together, being saved, being born again, and water baptized. The second most important and powerful thing that ever happened in my life was being baptized in the Holy Spirit. It is something that changed, that transformed in my life that I cannot go back. I can't undo, and I'm grateful that it happened. I know where it has led and what it has done in my life. And the third most important thing is being set free little by little through progressive sessions of deliverance, that actual casting out of the demonic out of my life. I've been able to experience that and see it on a regular basis. Just again, even this last week, my pastor has a two-hour sermon every Friday night online on a radio program, and I tune into that as often as I can and still get progressive sessions of deliverance through that. Okay, well, let me clarify something before we get started, because I know if you've talked about the Holy Spirit at all, that this is one of the things that will come up, one of the objections to what I'm talking about today. And that is, didn't I already get the Holy Spirit when I gave my life to Jesus? Okay, and the answer is yes, you did get the Holy Spirit. They are one package, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, one package, three in one. Okay, they are powerful as a unified force. However, just like a father, a son, and a husband all have different roles here on the earth, okay, so does the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. They are three in one, but they each have a distinct role that they play in your life and in my life. Okay, the power of the Holy Spirit that you received upon your, this is an example for you, kind of a, I don't know what it'd be, an allegory, something, you'll fill in the blank, that I think of when I think of the Holy Spirit. Okay, we give our life to Christ, we receive the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit that you receive upon your initial salvation, I would liken it to like operating on battery power. Okay, you can and you will. He can and he will. The Holy Spirit will do powerful things in your life and through your life. You will see things like never before. But you must keep recharging those batteries in order for you to be at full power. Okay, now to think about this, has anybody ever used like power-operated, you know, power tools? You know, battery-operated power tools, right? The old DeWalt drills and wrenches and saws and all those kind of things. Okay, well, if you've used them very much and used them until you actually ran a battery out, you can tell when the battery is not at full charge. Okay, usually, depending on how old the battery is, within a few minutes, sometimes you can hear it kind of wind down just a little bit. It's still functioning pretty good, but it's not at full power anymore. Okay, and you can recognize that. You begin to see that, hey, there's just not as much torque, or there's just not as much speed, or whatever it was, as there used to be. I remember when I built a wood trailer. Okay, I made it out of oil field pipe, and it began with a tandem axle camper. Okay, that I got real cheap, and I demolished the camper. Well, in order to do that, you have to take out like 1,000 screws out of the siding and the inside and the wood and all the things holding all this stuff together. And so I ended up with literal buckets, pails full of screws, okay, that I had taken out of this. Well, as I'm doing this, of course, that's a lot of screwing and unscrewing in one day. And so, and even the drilling the holes and all the other stuff. Well, somewhere in this process, I got to the point where I only had two batteries at the time, okay, for my screw gun, right? And so I got to the point where I was going through the power in that battery so fast that my backup battery was not fully charged yet. Does that make sense? And so now I'm waiting for my backup battery to get, you know, standing there tapping your foot, waiting for another 30 minutes or an hour or whatever for that to recharge so then I could put this one on. I only had one charger, right? And so I had to swap them out. Okay, and then I could use this one, and of course I was doing it like everybody does. You take it off before it's fully charged because you want to get back to work, and then it only lasts for about 5 minutes, and then you're back, and now your other one is really dead. And so anyway, I got to the point where I was waiting, right? And I got so tired of waiting, eventually I decided to string out an electrical cord, an extension cord, and use my old Craftsman drill that you have to plug in. Okay, and use that to do what I needed to do. Okay, sometimes some people would say they're not designed for screwing and unscrewing screws. They're made for drilling. Okay, but it was a drill, and I plugged it in, and from that point on, I kid you not, I remember thinking, I should have done this days ago. Okay, this is so much faster. It is so much better. It was at full power all the time, and any time that I wanted to grab it, it was right there and fully juiced up and ready to go, and I could get that project done so much faster. Okay, well, there is an experience that some Christians haven't engaged in yet that is by far one of the most spiritual, life-changing events or things that you can do in your walk with God. Okay, it is something that not only changes your walk with God, you know, your prayer life, your spiritual life, it not only changes your walk with God, but every area of your life will be amplified in some positive way. Okay? It changes the way that you deal with life. It changes the way you understand life and the Word of God and the way that you pray and the way that you walk with discernment. It changes things about every area of your life. Okay, now it's often referred to, and I've already referred to it a couple times, as being baptized in the Holy Spirit. Okay, see, when you're baptized in the Holy Spirit, it's like, and let me just back this up, just one word, okay? I'm going to use the word Holy Spirit and Holy Ghost interchangeably, because they're interchangeable in this term that I'm using, okay? But when you're baptized in the Holy Ghost, it is like you plug into the source of the power. Okay, it never runs out, and it's at full strength, and it's always ready to go. Okay, so no longer do I have to go to church to get filled up and to be pumped up so that I can make it through the week. I do that because I love that. Okay, and did that as a young believer. But after that, the plugging into the power, it's like it's always there. It's always ready to go. Okay, when I was working on that trailer, I could clearly see the need for a better way of doing things. Okay, if you're ever in the middle of a big project and you got the shop all heated up, it was winter time, and you know, got the shop heated up, I'm wanting to work on this. I don't really want to go away for 2 hours and wait for that battery to heat to, you know, get filled back up. So I'm like, I gotta find a better way. Okay, I saw the need for something to be better. Okay, and all I had to do to make that happen was to make the effort to go plug a cord in, and then life got way easier. Okay, life changed just by doing one simple act. Okay, and in a way, it was an act of faith. Okay, being baptized in the Holy Spirit is just that simple. Okay, it is once you get to the point where you see the need. Okay, many Christians will not. They will go through life, and I kid you not, there are. As far as I know, only one or two other churches, probably two, that would teach a message like this to the congregation. The other ones will not even touch it, will not even bring up baptism in the Holy Spirit, will not even describe it or give you any details on it. Okay, so once you see you get to that point where you see the need, okay, you see that there's something that could happen, you simply make a conscious effort to plug Him in. Okay, it's an act of faith. It's something that you take an initiative and say, I want to plug in this power that I know is available. So I'm going to show you a whole lot of scriptures this morning to kind of explain how this works. We've been talking about the power of God, right? So where does that power? If I'm saying the Holy Spirit is the power, it should all connect together based on this. So we've been looking at the power of God, both the power working through Jesus, the power that He manifested to heal, the power that He manifested to heal the brokenhearted, to set the captives free. We've also looked at some examples of the disciples of Christ allowing that power to flow through them to be able to heal and to know things and to do things in faith. Okay, Peter proclaimed in his explanation as he was being questioned about how did you guys heal this guy. Okay, he was given this explanation of what was happening through Jesus, and he said that it was Jesus of Nazareth that was appointed and anointed. Okay, literally in King James it says, Jesus of Nazareth was anointed with the Holy Ghost. Okay, and that is what he explained allowed him or gave him this power to go around healing and delivering and speaking to demons and they would flee, speaking to a tree and it would wither up. That power, he said, was because he was anointed with the Holy Ghost. Okay, and then Peter goes on and explains. He was recalling what Jesus had said before he ascended to heaven. Okay, he is thinking back in all the conversations and things he had heard about Jesus and testimonies other people had given and different things, and he put it all together and he remembers that Jesus had said this before he went to heaven. He informed us that greater things than what he did, than what Jesus did, that we would do. Okay, greater things than what I have done will flow through you, Jesus said, because I go unto the Father. Okay, because I'm going to heaven. Okay, now follow with me. Let's read a scripture. John chapter 14, starting in verse 12. We'll just read 12 here. Jesus said this. He said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me." Okay, do you believe on Jesus? Okay, then he's talking to you and me. Okay, "he that believeth on me, the works that I do, he shall do also. And greater works than these shall he do." Why? "Because I go unto my Father." Okay, so what was going to happen when he went to the Father? What was he going to do when he got to heaven? Why did he say it that way? Okay, we're going to find out. Jesus told us plainly that he was going to heaven so that he could send us the power of the Holy Spirit. Okay, it's a couple verses later in John chapter 14. It's 15 through 17. Jesus said this. Okay, there's a little precursor in this first verse, 15. Jesus says, "If you love me, keep my commandments." In other words, follow his commands. Follow Jesus. And then he says, "And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter." Notice the capital C, that's the Holy Spirit, "that he may abide with you forever, even the Holy Spirit of truth, whom the world," okay, the lost world that is not born again, does not have Jesus in their heart, they are not on their way to heaven, he says, "whom the world cannot receive because it sees him not, neither knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you," and then get this, "and shall be in you." Okay, he's not talking about a power that we hear of that's out here in outer space. He's talking about, "I'm going to send the Holy Spirit and he will be in you." Okay, so we got that, right? Holy Spirit, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, I receive Jesus, I believe on all this. I got Holy Spirit. He is now in me. Okay, that power grid is in me. Okay, it's a matter of figuring out, how do I tap that now? How do I plug into this? Okay, Jesus said this a few verses later, John 14, 25 and 26. Jesus said, "These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you." That's God intended the Holy Spirit to be in us, to be this connection, right? So that we have access now to all the understanding that we need of God, all the things that Jesus said, did, and meant. Okay, we have access to that. Okay, but then just before Jesus ascends to heaven, okay, he had been crucified, he had been buried, he had risen from the dead, the miracles had all taken place, he had spoken, he had done all these things. Jesus stated to his disciples that they should wait in Jerusalem in an upper room until they were filled with power from heaven. Okay, now follow this. It's in Luke, this is the very end of Luke now, it's in Luke 24, 49. Luke 24, 49. Luke is quoting Jesus, okay, and he says, "And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high." Okay, he had already said, "I'm going to heaven, I'm going to be with God, I'm going to send you the power, I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit." Then before he ascends to heaven, he tells them, "Okay, now go and wait in Jerusalem," knowing what they would do. They're going to gather and pray and do their thing. He says, go and wait in Jerusalem until you be endued with power. Okay, in other words, go and wait until the Holy Spirit comes upon you. These were guys that already believed in Jesus. Okay, many of them already were walking in an anointing, had some authority delegated and understood some of this, but it's about to be magnified. It's about to go bigger than big. It's about to go more than their imagination could even fathom. Okay, that power that Jesus said they would be endued with from on high was the same power that he himself was anointed with when he was on the earth healing and casting out spirits and setting people free in his name. Okay, this was the same power that he was anointed with that he had promised to send. Okay, this is what came on them. Now, Luke is the same guy. Luke wrote the book of Luke, obviously. He also wrote the book of Acts. Okay, as literally a continuation of the book of Luke. If you read Luke and then you jump to the book of Acts, it sounds just like a continuation. It's like Luke part 2. Okay, but then he gets into the Acts of the Apostles and describes Paul's conversion and Peter, and he starts telling all these other stories. Okay, so it's more than just about Jesus, because at that point he was talking about the disciples, the people who believed on Jesus. This is what happened. Okay, so let's flip to Acts. Because Luke tells this, okay, he says, wait until, this is what Jesus said. He said, wait until you be endued with power from on high. Okay, he also gave us this. He said that this was the conversation that Jesus had with them right before he ascended to heaven. So he starts out in Acts chapter 1, verse 4 through 8. And he's describing, he says, and being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which, saith he, you have heard from me, or of me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. And when they were therefore come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father has put in his own power, but you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. Okay, then in chapter 2, the first few verses in chapter 2 says this, Acts 2, 1 through 4. He describes what happens when the power comes. It says, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. Okay, that means they were like-minded. There wasn't people doubting, is this really going to happen? Is this true? They were there with one accord saying, Jesus said, wait for the power. We're going to wait for the power. Watch this. It's going to be great. And they were all united in this faith. Okay, with one accord, joined together, anticipating what the Lord was going to do. It says, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Okay, here's that difference between the Holy Spirit being among you, operating with you, working side by side, where they were able to do things in the miraculous while they were with Jesus. He was still on the earth. This is that Spirit that was right next to them, coming into them. This is the plan of God, that believers would be filled, okay, with the Holy Ghost, and then these other things would happen based on that. Okay, these were guys that were simply following Jesus' instruction. Remember that verse I read earlier? Keep my commandments. If you love me, keep my commandments, and then I'll send the power of the Holy Spirit. Okay, they were following his instructions. They were united in faith. Okay, they prayed. And then the Holy Spirit came upon them, and they were all filled to overflowing with a miraculous power. The miracles began instantly because they began speaking out in other tongues. This particular description, when it describes that, was other languages. Literal, there were Samaritans, Laodiceans. There was all these different people that were in this area. Okay, and they began to speak out, not knowing the language. They weren't, you know, English was their language, or not English, but Greek was their language, right? Okay, but they were speaking out in all these other languages, and people out on the street and people around began to hear that they were speaking in their language. So this miracle began to happen right away. Okay, and that's a different kind of tongues that we're going to talk about here in a minute. Okay, but as they followed this instruction, they were all filled with this miraculous power to the point it began overflowing out of them. Now, with this power came a supernatural boldness to share the gospel so that it would spread throughout the world, and as many as would believe on it would be saved, right? That was the whole point. God wanted to empower his people, not just to be cool for you, okay, it's great, but he empowered us to spread the gospel. Okay, remember, he said, the Holy Ghost shall come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me in both Judea and Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. That was the intention of the Holy Ghost coming and filling them. It was going to give them a supernatural boldness to go forth and do what they needed to do. Okay, a little bit later in the book of Acts, we see where they pray for this, and it begins to happen even more. It's in Acts chapter 4, verse 29 through 31. Okay, they had gone through some persecution. They had healed a guy, and they got called aside, and they got told not to preach in Jesus' name, and they were kind of, the world was coming at them, okay? So they get to this point, and in Acts 4:29, it says this. They say, "And now, Lord," they're praying, "Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word, by stretching forth thy hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of the Holy Child Jesus." And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they began to speak the word of God with boldness. Again, it's why God gives the Holy Spirit. It's for his glory. It's for his spreading of the gospel. Okay, it's don't take it on you like, oh, I want to be some great one. I want to be a prophet. It's not like that. You take on the power of the Holy Spirit to be a blessing in the kingdom of God, to spread the good news, to let people see and experience. That's where, if you remember this series on the power of God, all began. Okay, with the verses where I was reading where people were healed, people were delivered, people were set free, people were raised from the dead, and then it would say, and the word of God increased. Okay, or the number of disciples increased greatly. And so I was like, God, there's something with your power that leads to increase in the kingdom of God. Okay, and then I started putting it together, and I see that it's the power of God coming through the Holy Spirit to manifest in and through his people so that God is glorified. Okay, God had this plan from the beginning. Okay, now the Bible, we've already read a few times, we see where it uses that term of being baptized, okay, to describe what happens when the Spirit of God fills you. Okay, I want to, we'll back up to Acts chapter 1, verse 4. It says, "And being assembled together with them, he commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, you have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days since." Okay, now we're having a water baptism, right? And 3 weeks or so, 3.5 weeks. Well, it's on a Sunday. It's got to be 4 weeks from today, probably. Okay, we're having a water baptism. So that gives a great example to describe what happens here. Okay, how can it be that a Christian that has the Holy Spirit already is not already baptized in the Holy Spirit? If I've already received him, how can I not be filled to the point of overflowing? Okay, let me explain it to you. Okay, with this water baptism coming up, those people who are going to be baptized already believe in Jesus, right? That's why you get baptized. I believe in Jesus, right? And I want to show the world, okay? They have already called upon the name of Jesus. Acts 2:21 says that it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Okay, these people, they're coming to get water baptized, but they're already saved. Does that make sense? They already believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. They've already called out his name. Okay, they are already saved and on their way to heaven, but they want to follow the instructions of Jesus to be baptized. Okay, Jesus said to go ye and baptize all, right? And so we see that in the scriptures. That's why we offer baptisms. Okay, for this, for those people, is a next step in their walk with God. Okay, it is a way for them to say, God, I am completely yours. My life is owned by you. I am holding nothing back. And I want the world to know it. Okay, it is an outward expression of that inward conviction. They already believe on Jesus, but they're going to show the world. Okay, in one instance, that I am now baptized into the kingdom of God. I am one of his. I am chosen and handpicked by him, and I'm declaring it that I take that on and I accept that. Okay, well, the baptism in the Holy Spirit is similar in that you are already saved. Okay, you already have the Holy Spirit in your life. Okay, but now you're telling God and you're acknowledging to the Holy Spirit that you are yielding your everything to the power of his divine spirit. Okay, it means that I'm saying, Lord, I know that this power exists and that I see it in the Bible. I've seen other people. I watch testimony. God, I'm in. I want that as well. Okay, I want to show you another passage. This is later on in the book of Acts. It's Acts chapter 8, starting in verse 14. We'll read 14 through 17. It says, now when the apostles which were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria, okay, different part of the country, they heard they had received the word of God, they sent unto them Peter and John, who when they were come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Ghost. For as of yet he was fallen upon none of them, only they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then they laid their hands on them, and they received the Holy Ghost. Do you see that? They already believed on Jesus, but they didn't know about the Holy Spirit. Okay, they hadn't received and been baptized in the Spirit. Okay, when you're baptized in the Spirit, it is like a full submersion in him. Okay, it's an act of faith. Okay, it is you saying, I don't understand it all. I don't know exactly what's going to happen, but I'm in. I want whatever this is. Okay, you don't have to have it, and you won't have it all figured out. Okay, you won't know what all is going to happen when you receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Okay, it's like, I think of it like this. It's like jumping into a river, okay, a fast-moving river. Okay, once you jump in, you're committed to wherever that river wants to take you. That's what the baptism in the Holy Spirit is about. It's about getting in. It's about saying, I'm in, and jump. Okay, and you get into that river, and now where the Spirit wants to take you, he may take you in places that you're not comfortable with. He may take you out of your comfort zone, but guess what? It's no longer quite as uncomfortable. Now you feel this moving of the Spirit that I'm supposed to go witness to so-and-so. You want me to go sit down with that? I don't even know those people. Why would I share the gospel with them? Why, you want me to do what? To speak a word of knowledge? To tell this person that, you know, this is going to happen in their life, or to speak as a prophecy, a prophet, okay? And you might be thinking, no way. But now in the Spirit, you're in this river and it's flowing, and you just feel like, you know what? I just feel, and I hear this so often from Spirit-filled Christians, I just feel led to do this. I feel led to give this person money. I feel led to sow into this person's life some gospel tracts. I just felt like God wanted me to buy you a new Bible. I don't know, I don't know you, I've never seen you, but you come into the store a lot, here you go. Okay, you feel this prompting of the Holy Spirit. Okay, he is able then to lead you and to guide you and to prompt you without restraint. You know why? Because you gave him permission when you jumped in the river. Okay? If he doesn't have your permission, he can do, he'll influence, he'll help you. You might feel a little leading here and there. But as soon as you jump in the river, okay, he's like, you gave me full control, buddy. I'm guiding the raft. We're going wherever he wants to go. Okay? And that's that yielding process. We give it in and we say, now you can move. You have permission. You can operate in my life in any way that you want to. I am not going to hold you back. Okay, the Apostle Paul, he wrote to the Christians in Thessalonica, and he told them to quench not the Spirit. Okay, in other words, don't put the fire out. Okay, the Spirit is like a consuming fire. Okay, if you'll fan that flame instead of quenching the fire, it means you're going to find yourself saying and doing things that are way outside of your comfort zone, but it doesn't feel like it so much anymore. God might call you to be an evangelist. Maybe he wants you to go and travel across the country or go out of the country as a missionary. Maybe God wants you to become a pastor or to serve or to speak a word of knowledge in the church or to let tongues flow and somebody else interprets. Okay, when all that is outside your comfort zone, it may mean that you're not yielded to the Holy Spirit. Okay, if he wants to do that, I'm willing. I want it to come. I want to see those things and experience more and more of it. Okay, you get to a point with the Holy Spirit when you receive him that it's called, I call it Holy Ghost boldness. Okay, you can truly feel the power of God kind of flowing through your veins. It's like, this isn't about me anymore. This is the Holy Ghost. This is what God wants. I'm his. Okay, you give ownership over to him. Okay, you're going to know things that you had no way of knowing. Okay, it's a word of knowledge. God tells you something and you know what just happened in a situation without even being there. Okay, or you get a word of wisdom for somebody. You go up to them and you say, you know what? You're planning a trip and you're not supposed to go. I'm not, and you can give them the reason. God said, don't go because, okay, if you get that much. And you'll know it, okay? And a person will say, yeah, fool you on you, they'll go and get in a bad car wreck. Okay, it happens. This is body of Christ stuff happening all over the world. Okay, or you'll get the promptings from the Holy Spirit and you'll know, okay? You're gonna see into the spiritual realm and be able to discern what is happening behind the scenes, because one of the gifts of the Holy Spirit is the gift of discerning of spirits. So now, if you don't understand, I'm talking about casting out demons and Holy Spirit and angels, and you're like, I don't know about all that stuff, okay? This is where that's at, okay? It's in the Holy Spirit. Then your eyes are open to the spiritual realm even more than they were before. Okay, the gifts of the Holy Spirit, as outlined in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, begin to flow more freely through your life. Okay, let's look at those. It's in 1 Corinthians 12, 7 through 10. Bear with me, guys. I know it's hot in here, but it's a good message. You got to get this in. 1 Corinthians 12, 7 through 10 describes what happens when the Holy Spirit is in you, overflowing you. It says, but the manifestation of the Holy Spirit is given to every man to profit with. For to one is given by the Holy Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another, diverse kinds of tongues, and to another, the interpretation of those tongues. Think of some Bible examples of this. Okay, now, the whole lot of the New Testament, read the Gospels, Jesus was still here. After that, it's all about us, right? It's about the New Testament believers, the New Testament church. So let's look at some examples. Let's look at and think about things like, remember when Peter and John go up to the temple to pray and there's a guy that's been crippled for 40 years and he says, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have in the name of Jesus Christ, rise up and walk. Okay, and he lifts him up and the guy leaps up and down and goes to church with him. Okay, that was after this. That was after they had been filled with the Spirit. Okay, another one in Acts chapter 5, starting in verse 15 and 16, it says this. It says, this anointing, it said, insomuch that they brought forth the sick into the streets, and they laid them on beds and couches, at the least the shadow of Peter passing by might overshadow some of them. There came also a multitude out of the cities round about unto Jerusalem, bringing sick folks, and them which were vexed with unclean spirits, and they were healed every one. Okay, this is not Jesus. This is the people that believed on Jesus, the people that received the Holy Spirit. These guys were just men like you and I, allowing the gifts of the Holy Spirit to flow through them. To some was given anointing for miracles or healing, faith, other things like that. Peter was another example when he received a word of knowledge that Ananias and Sapphira were lying to him. How did he know that? He was filled with the Holy Ghost, and he says, "Why have you determined to lie to the Holy Ghost?" Peter knew. The Holy Ghost was flowing in him and through him, and he had that gift of discernment right there. Okay, he had a word of knowledge. Stephen was a guy that was empowered by the Holy Spirit with such boldness that even as he's being stoned to death, he still had enough to pray for his captors. Okay, that is, it is the Holy Spirit empowering him to do what he needs to do. Okay, almost every person that I know, I'm going to shift gears just a little bit. Almost every person that I know that has received the baptism of the Holy Spirit speaks in a spiritual, heavenly language unknown to them, but fully known and comprehensible by the Holy Spirit and by our Father God. Okay, it is a language. It is something that comes from within. Okay, it's not something you think up. You put a sound to it, and the Holy Spirit begins to pray right through you. It's a heavenly language. I'll give you an example out of the scriptures. Acts chapter 19, starting in verse 1. It says, "And it came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus, and finding certain disciples, he said unto them, Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? And they said unto him, We have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. And he said unto them, Unto what then were you baptized? And they said, Unto John's baptism. Then Paul said, John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him which should come after him, that is, on Christ Jesus. So when they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And then it says, And when Paul laid his hands upon them, the Holy Ghost came on them, and they spoke with tongues and prophesied. Okay, again, that Holy Spirit came, and it was like this kickoff in their, you know, it's like plugging in. Okay, you have a dead drill, it doesn't do anything, and all of a sudden they plugged it in, and the Holy Spirit began coming through them, and they spoke with other tongues and prophesied. Okay, now, my personal experience with the baptism in the Holy Spirit was kind of like this. I received Christ on a Sunday night. It was a small church. My friend had taken me and said, they're going to have an altar call, and I did. I gave my life to Jesus. I walked forward. The pastor and the elders of the church came and they laid hands on me, and I prayed and confessed that Jesus Christ was my Lord and Savior. Okay, well, the guy that led me to Christ had taken me to church that night was fully filled and overflowing with the Holy Spirit. This guy had a prophetic anointing. He got words of knowledge all the time. I saw him lay hands on people and see people healed. I had seen enough. Other people in town he would just speak out something, and they're like, there is no way that you know me and that you should know how to, you know, what just happened in my life. And so people all over town saw this guy as something different. Something supernatural was about this guy. Most people thought he was a little strange, right? He was a little on the weird side because he was bold. He was so full that he would speak out no matter what the circumstance was, irregardless of what would happen or the repercussions if somebody would get mad or whatever. He would just speak it out. Okay, well, as he discipled me, I began to question him about where this anointing came from. How did he know this stuff? Where was this source of his power coming from? Okay, and as he explained to me, he began to teach me then about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Okay, so a few weeks after being saved, I told him that if that same power and anointing that he walked in was available to everyone, then that should mean it's available to me, and if you can have it, how come I can't have it? He said, you can. So we prayed right there. So often in the scriptures, you'll see it happen when they laid hands on. They laid hands on, so we did that right in his living room. Laid hands on me and prayed for me to receive the Holy Ghost right then and there. Okay, but from there, I had to initiate my faith even more. Okay, I had to take it and do something with what had just happened. Okay, he said that it was, you know, it was received by faith, just like salvation. Okay, well, if you're saved, your life should begin to be different. Okay, things don't seem the same before and after getting saved. Okay, so I prayed, I got immersed in the Spirit, then I had to step out in faith. Okay, he taught me about tongues. He taught me that, he said, Gary, you can think of stuff in your mind, but you're not going to speak it in your known English language. You're going to just put sound to it and let the Holy Spirit begin to put it together. And so we did, and he did it all the time. I had seen it and heard it enough from him. I'm like, And to me, it sounded like gibberish, right? It didn't make any sense. I'm like, whew. So I'm like, what'd I say, right? And I want him to, you know, interpret this for me. He goes, I don't know. That was, you know. So he began to explain it to me how it happens or what happens when you do that. Okay, he explained to me that I was praying in the Spirit. Okay, my spirit was praying. And he said that it was kind of like, in his words, what he used was the term angel talk. He said that it was like angel talk, and that if I didn't know exactly what to pray in a certain situation, that I could pray in the Spirit, okay, and the Holy Spirit would ensure that I prayed the perfect prayer. I'm like, that sounds good to me. How come we don't do this all the time? He said, some people do. Paul said he prayed more than everybody. Okay, Paul did a lot, knew a lot, walked in the power a lot. Okay, so as I began to do this, okay, I began practicing this. I would just sit at home in my living room and out of you go Sunday, out of come by Sunday a day. Okay, and just wait, hoping that something would happen. Sometimes the Lord would speak to me and tell me what I just said. Okay, sometimes Reg would be there and he would just say what I just said in the Spirit. Okay, it began to happen. I would go to church, that small church was smaller than this, and I would go to that church, and on Sunday morning somebody would shout out Kumba Saturday. And then it would just get quiet. And somebody on the other side of the room would stand up and say, thus saith the Lord. And they would belt out what that guy just said in tongues. And I saw this happening in the services. And so then I'm going back, Reg, what happened today? You know, what this is, you know, and just trying to understand it, trying to get my brain around it a little bit. Okay, well, I just started practicing it. Okay, just started putting it in motion to see if it's perfect prayers. I want to pray perfect prayers, right? So I began to just do this, and I began to see things moving in my life like I had never experienced before. Okay, to this day, it still works that way. Okay, things click. Okay, it's like, I think of it like enlisting a legion's worth of angels to do your bidding. Okay, you're speaking into the realm that they're at, and they hear it perfectly. They're like, oh, Gary just said, toom, and they're on it. Okay, no time restraints, no nothing. They're just working on my behalf, sort of orchestrating events of my life to help it come to pass in the way that God wants it to come to pass. Okay, you want to be in that river, right? We jump in, we're in. I'm going where you want me to go. Let's go. Okay, and the Holy Spirit said, let's go, and off we go. Okay, and we're going in that place where he is taking me. Okay, then it's no longer about me thinking, I need to do this, and I, you know. No, it takes you out of the picture. Next thing you know, you bump into somebody. Oh, I've been wanting to see you. This is great. And these things start happening. The phone starts ringing. The job offer comes. The finances come in. The things start happening. It starts clicking in the Spirit because the angels in the spiritual realm is being orchestrated on your behalf. The Apostle Paul told those in Corinth that there's lengthy explanations of tongues and speaking in tongues and how it works in Corinthians. Paul told the Corinthians as he was writing to them that he thanked God because he prayed in tongues more than them all. Okay, I've already probably got 30, 40 minutes of praying in the Spirit in before I got here today, before this service. Okay, during worship, before the service, I'm praying over the chairs. I'm down at the fort this morning praying in tongues. It's part of my natural part of my day. It is, let's go. Okay, let's go in the direction. This is part of that. Okay, this is let's go in the direction that God wants to go. Okay, the more uptight I am, I notice sometimes the more maybe out of my comfort zone I'm feeling, the more I pray in tongues. Okay, the more I pray in the Spirit and enlist that stuff, because I don't always know what I should pray for, right? 1 Corinthians 14:14 says that when I pray in tongues, it is my spirit that prays. Okay, when you don't know what to pray for, the Holy Spirit makes intercession for you according to the will of God. Okay, if you're a saint of God, you're a child of God, the Holy Spirit will intercede. I want Holy Ghost working for me. I want him telling God, hey, here's what Gary needs. Okay, I want that in my life, and here's how that happens. It's Romans 8:26-27. Paul says it this way. He says, likewise, the Holy Spirit also helps our infirmities, our weaknesses, our soft spots, so to speak. Okay, the Holy Spirit helps our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Holy Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searches the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Okay, the Holy Spirit interceding for us according to the will of God. What's the will of God for my life? If you don't know what it is, pray in the Spirit, because the Holy Spirit knows, and he will intercede on your behalf, leading you into the perfect will of God for your life. Okay, that is exactly what I see happening in my life. Okay, and to receive, you simply believe. Okay, you believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, you gave your life to him. You believe and you receive. Okay, now I know that there may be some that maybe you've already prayed and received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Maybe you prayed for it at some point in your walk, but maybe you haven't noticed a huge difference in your life. Okay, I'm going to tell you that it is like everything else in the kingdom of God. If you do not practice, if you do not exercise it, it will grow weak. You will not see the result. Okay, if you're exercising, you know how it is. You're working out every day, you start feeling, looking good, you're doing well. Okay, quit doing it for a couple months and you'll see the flab come back, right? It's the way it works. In the kingdom of God, if you do not exercise your faith, you will not see things happening by faith. You will not be experiencing things that go beyond your faith. You'll start experiencing doubt and fear and worry because you're not walking and exercising faith. Okay, if you're not exercising the discernment of spirits, okay, or if you're not walking in and exercising things in the things of God, you will not be able to distinguish what is of God and what is not of God. Okay, if you just kind of go through life, whatever comes, comes, okay, and you quit using the gift of discernment, you will begin to be run by whatever the world wants for you instead of what God wants for you. Okay, if you do not exercise the gift of praying in the Spirit, you will not see the difference of having the Holy Ghost interceding for you. You won't understand how much of a difference it makes because you're not praying in the Spirit. How would you know? He's waiting for you to initiate some faith. Okay, now just like someone who gets saved can go for weeks, can go for months, maybe even years before they start acting like a Christian. You ever known people like that? They might have confessed Jesus Christ is Lord, but their life really didn't change. And then one day the light goes on. Something begins to change in their life and they actually, you know, they start pursuing God, getting close to him, worshiping him. Something changes in their life. Okay, you can also receive the baptism in the Holy Spirit and not walk it out. Okay, it has to be exercised. It has to be a continuous act of faith. Okay, just like a believer might be baptized in water long after they were saved. Okay, I've baptized many adults over the years, right? They got saved when they were young or 20 years old. Now they're recommitting their life. They're getting baptized in water many years later. Okay, you can also be baptized in the Holy Ghost long after you've been saved. Okay, I know many, many. Like I said, it took me 6 months of asking questions, wanting to find things out, okay, watching what was happening around me. Okay, I want to encourage you this morning to get plugged into the power. Okay, get plugged into the power source. Okay, now I believe that it takes and what I see so often in the scriptures, sometimes they would just pray and the Holy Ghost would come on people and fill them. Okay, but other times they would lay hands on them. It's the people that are filled with the Spirit can lay hands on somebody else and they can be filled with the Spirit. I've seen it, I've done it, I experienced it. Okay, my pastor, when I went to a conference at his church in Billings, and while we were there, he had, you know, a teaching similar to this, and pastor says, Gary, come on up. And so I came up, and I laid hands on people, and he was laying hands on people, and we prayed for several people in that conference that had not received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Okay, I'm here 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, not in this building. Get a hold of me. Okay, I will gladly pray for anybody. Okay, if you got questions, ask questions. I've got books. I've got all kinds of information I can give you. I'll give you testimony. I'll share things with you. Okay, that's who I am and what I do, and Margie's in the same boat. She's with me all the time. If you want to come up after church and say, I want to receive the power, I want this baptism of the Holy Spirit, we will pray for you right here and now. Okay, and you can begin to initiate and put things into practice. Okay, I'll leave it at that. Father God, I'm praising you this morning. Father, I give you all the glory and the praise. The power is yours, Lord. We're just explaining how it happens. Okay, Father, we have seen it. We see it in your word. We watch how it happened in the lives of the disciples and the people that followed you. Father, we've seen it in real life and today's circumstances. And today, Lord, we're asking, Lord, I ask for anyone who has not yet received and been filled with the Holy Ghost, Lord, that you will lay it upon their heart. Maybe not today, maybe not tomorrow, but get them filled, Lord, so that they can bring that glory to your name, so that holy boldness can roll freely, that they're walking in the anointing and the gifts of the Holy Spirit will begin to manifest more and more. Father, watch it happen, and I know that you will lead it to happen, Father, and I pray that for each and every person here. Father, I pray that our understanding of you has been expanded, that we understand you more than we did before. And Father, send us out of here with an endowment of that power, Father. Just pour it upon us and infilling us and causing us to walk in your will and your ways, Lord. We pray you for it. We thank you for it. It's in Jesus' name that we say, amen. Amen and amen.